Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host,
Vincent the Bay.
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 Hi there, honey. I'm number one.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Gay or what? Check, check, 1, 2. Check, check, 1, 2. Test, 1, 2. Hey, 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 it's Vince in the motherfucking Bay. Back for another edition of Disorderly Conduct. It's Thursday, February 21st, 2013. Congratulations, you've arrived on time for the show tonight. And once again, I'm Vincent the Bay, your audio erotic host for the next 2 hours. We can talk about anything and everything on your mind. I was a little bit interested in the two criminal cases that had court proceedings both today and tomorrow in New York. This morning, District Judge Loretta Preska successful 27-year-old Jeremy Hammond and a courtroom full of supporters that she will not be stepping down at this time from the federal case against the young political activist who is accused of by the government of hacking private intelligence firm Stratford during a highly publicized security breach in late 2011. Prosecutors say Hammond, an alleged member of LulzSec, hacked into Stratfor and obtained a trove of personal information, including personal correspondence between executives and thousands of credit card credentials belonging to subscribers of a paid service offered by Stratfor. In recent weeks, though, it's been discovered that Judge Preska's husband, attorney Thomas J. Cavalier. Anyway, the husband of the judge, Thomas Cavalier, was victimized in the very hack that Hammond is accused of performing. And Mr. Cavalier's personal information, including his credit card numbers, were leaked in the hack and attributed to Hammond. Despite this knowledge, though, Judge Preska said today that she is reserving judgment in recusing herself from the case. And that was an excerpt from the only article I could find online today about these proceedings. And it was an RT post, Russia Today. Thank God for the Russians, or else we wouldn't know what sort of criminal prosecution information is happening in our own goddamn country. And, of course, tomorrow, Hector Xavier Monsieur, something or other, a hacker who famously operated on the web as LulzSec ringleader Sabu, will be sentenced in federal court for crimes that preceded the Stratfor hack. But although Sabu's rap sheet is long and his crimes arguably heinous, he's expected to be let off easy. According to court documents, he pleaded guilty back in August of 2011, but had his sentencing delayed because of his ongoing cooperation with federal investigators. In fact, FBI agents provided him with the very computer used by Hammond to upload the hacked Stratfor files just 2 months after the breach. And I'm excited because I will be joined tonight by Andrew Panda Blake. He goes by AP Blake on Twitter. He has been following this situation, and I'm not sure, but I think he may have been at the court proceedings today. I know he was keeping an eye on it, and I could have sworn he was going to be there in court today. I hope he was, because I'd love to get the inside scoop, as many of you might want as well. So we'll talk about that, and we can talk about anything else that's on your mind. I also want to get to horoscopes at some point. I keep putting it off. I meant to do horoscopes on Tuesday. And so if we get an opportunity tonight, I'll try to squeeze in some horoscopes. So if you want to call in and have me read your horoscope, we'll try to do that. And if there's any other topics that are on your mind, feel free to call in and chime in. The lines are open. I know that that my guest Andrew Blake will be here, but he said he's going to be running late, so he'll probably show up a little bit later in the program. In the meantime, Let's take a quick break. I'm gonna get on the. I have a few people, well, several people lined up that wanna chime in. So what I'm gonna do is play a little tunage for you and screen these calls and come right back. Right here on Disorderly Conduct, it's Cybercrime Sexy Time, kiddos. Really, my show is always about Cybercrime Sexy Time. But there you go. Enjoy.
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Call in now, biatches, 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
For the nigga who be talking loud and holding his dick, talking shit, he better lay low. For the bitch that said I got some shit up out of my dick, now she's sick, she better lay low. For the niggas who be claiming my hood and really ain't for my gang, I hope he don't be thinking I'm just talking and I won't do a thing. Really hope so.
Oh, jeez. Hey, folks. It's Vince back with you. And I wanted to, before we jump into tonight's topic, I wanted to follow up on last night's show, which was a fantastic show. Big ups to Schmoop of the Wrestle League for being my co-host last night. That was awesome. We got the scoop on the Anon Central hack before the BBC did. That's right. And this was out of the BBC this morning. Hacking group Anonymous, latest victim of Twitter hack. Hacker Collective Anonymous has suffered an embarrassing breach as one of its popular Twitter feeds is taken over by rival hacktivist. Little-known group Russell League said it had hacked the Anon Central account, which has 160,000 followers. Not anymore. It follows some high-profile Twitter attacks in recent days against Burger King and blah-blah-blah. That's it. The rest of the story is about Chinese people hacking. But whatever. Big ups to Wrestle League for making the BBC news. And big ups to Vincent the Bay for breaking the news before the BBC. I scooped the BBC yet again. Bam! Oh, I should share that link with you in the chat room just so you know I'm not bullshitting. And I loved one of the headlines there. It's not in that one, but what was a quote? Oh, here we go. Maybe this is a different article. No, they updated it because they know it was stupid. But originally that article had the byline, "When Twitter accounts run by hackers can be breached, should we all be worried?" Is that not the lamest headline you've ever heard? When Twitter accounts run by hackers can be breached, should we all be worried? Okay. If you're not a hacker, you should already, based on that logic alone, if you're not a hacker, you should already be worried, okay? Hackers are smart enough to know to be worried already, right? BBC, learn how to write, learn how to internet, learn how to think, learn how to life, okay? BBC, learn how to life. Oh, yes. Also, Donald Trump hairpiece got hacked today. I mean, I just read what Nick Mack said in the chat room. No. Donald Trump's Twitter account hacked this morning. Donald Trump's Twitter account. What did he say? I retweeted it. Where is it, Donald? Don't tell me you deleted it, Donald, you piece of shit. Oh, here we go. Here it is. This is from 12 hours ago. Donald, the real Donald Trump. "My Twitter has been seriously hacked, and we are looking for the perpetrators." That's right. Donald Trump's Twitter account, quote, seriously hacked. Not just hacked, seriously hacked. And I'm serious. Here, I'll put that in the chat room, too, for you. If you missed it this morning. Some of the comments are quite entertaining. Also, he tweeted again a little bit later. Still, the butt hurt was still stinging. So, what does he do? Oh, crap, I lost it. He had another tweet. Let me find this one. Bear with me. Oh my God, my switchboard is freaking out on me. BTR is having some serious bugs. Okay, I'm going to say that right now. I'm just going to take a screenshot of this. All I think what I'm going to do is take a couple days off of BTR and just gather all these screenshots and audio clips of me Patriot Gregging and just, you know, package them in something I can in an email to BTR to beg them to correct the bugs with the switchboard, with the Skype. This is insane. Like, I have callers on that are listed, but I only have half the buttons on my switchboard. There's no button to, like, turn it on. And that happened last night. I had a song I wanted to play, and the little circle with the triangle in it to play it, that little icon was gone. All right. You people have no idea what I'm talking about, except for probably Blog Talk or Russell League Radio. Do a little refresh here, see if I can't get some caller. Okay, there we go. All right. Let me bring on Owly. Hey, Owly.
Hello.
Owl, is that you?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm waiting for my special guest to call in tonight. We're going to talk about...
Are you hearing any background sound on my end?
It sounds like your girlfriend is hanging out talking to her boyfriend or something.
Okay. I'm sorry. One second. I'm sorry.
Can you just punch her in the mouth?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hey. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh my God! So much better now that you're here.
I can help with your horoscopes. I have stuff.
I don't. Well, yeah, if you want to help, sure.
I have stuff.
Yeah. Well, I figured, I don't know, I'm still going to hold out just a little bit longer and see if this dude calls in. If not, yeah, we can just go straight into horoscope until he calls.
I'm just letting you know, I have stuff.
You know, one day stuff is going to be illegal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, did you hear that Russell League hacked Anonymous?
Yes, it was hilarious.
Yeah, we had Anons on the show last night, and they were LOLing to it as well.
Dude, I went to a swap meet for nerds, basically, yesterday.
Okay.
And I was there all day, and there was this guy who had all these pins. And I was like, oh my God, I love pins. And there was like all this cool stuff. And all of a sudden I see like the little Anonymous logo and I'm like, no. And I was like, give me that pin. And then he gave it to me. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm so giving this to like someone ridiculous. I'm going to send it to Smoop.
Dude, did you hear last night's show?
No, I didn't.
Dude, you missed a good one.
I know. I mean, don't your things get archived?
Yeah. It's the latest one on there. It was awesome.
It
was awesome. Like 30 of the top trolls on the internet called in.
That's amazing. I'm sad I wasn't there.
That was great. Oh, I tweeted out a highlight from the show. I don't know if you follow me on Twitter.
No, I blocked you on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, most people do. You know, I almost had Jose. I was so close to having Jose Canseco be my co-host tonight.
Why not?
Well, I tweeted to him. I was like, hey, do you want to be my co-host on my internet radio show tonight? He says, sorry, Vince. Gotta find a good burger.
Gotta what?
He needs to find a good burger, hamburger.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to try him again. He seems like he might be open to it, just, you know, he had to eat.
Oh, okay. I think I should have had coffee before I called in.
I'm having coffee now.
Well, I should go make coffee.
Make coffee.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, while she's making coffee, let's bring on, I think this is Anon Sicko. Sicko, is that you?
Yeah, what's going on, Vince?
Hi, Sicko.
Hi, Al.
Yeah.
Hey, Sicko. Great to have you on. Just getting warmed up here. I got a tweet from what's this guy's name?
I don't know.
The dude with half his face on his avatar, Andrew Panda Blake.
Oh yeah.
He's listening, but he's not going to call in for another 15 minutes. So he says he's going to call in about 9:40 our time. That's 12:40 Eastern. So we're about 15 minutes away from him. And so we're just going to have open lines until then. Sicko, I think you are familiar with the topic tonight, the Jeremy Hammond situation, and back to back with Sabu tomorrow in Manhattan.
Yeah, it's first off, I think the scheduling of the two cases, that I think something has to be looked at that along with the ramping up of the fear mongering and stuff in the media and shit like that. But they're obviously, at least it looks to me like they're about to really try some shit. And I'm not talking about just CISPA, you know what I mean? I'm not talking about just some anti-piracy bill or something like that. They're really about to start ramping up what how they control the internet, and it's about to get ugly on here. And I'm not trying to fearmonger. I'm just, anytime our government steps up the fearmongering, like talking about, oh, if hackers can get hacked, or should we all be worried and shit like that? Like, it's pretty obvious, you know, that they're trying to create this fear and prevent people from seeing what's actually going on the internet in a positive light.
I'm getting some very interesting tweets. I want to thank you folks for engaging the program via Twitter. Too complex to know says Sabu is not worth a fuck. He can go fuck himself. Oh, that's right. He already did by fucking Lulzsec and Anons. That's the sentiment that's floating around on the internet, folks. Just a sampling.
Yeah. Oh man, Sabu is. What can be said about Sabu that hasn't already been said?
I want to know who is going to sit in on that and check it out, see if he's there in person.
See what's going on. I've seen quite a few tweets.
He's not on the docket, the official docket for that court. They have Hammond listed, but they don't have him listed.
That's interesting.
Yep. Somebody sent me that. I think it might have been Benji. I don't know. Somebody linked me to that South District Court website and the list of their docket, and there was Hammond and a few other random things, and there was nothing Hector or Sabu related at all. But there was also a disclaimer that said not all trials are listed here.
So it's happening.
It's happening, but you got to find it.
Yeah. Well, I think looking at it from the government's point of view and shit like that, it makes a little sense that they wouldn't put him on there. Obviously, they're expecting something. Even though most of the time when court cases then come up. You don't see big protests and shit like that, Jeremy Hammond being the sole exception. I think that just signifies that they're expecting something, and they're trying to make this as low key as possible, probably to help distract from the fact that what Sabu did was entrapment. You know what I mean? What Sabu did was encourage these people to commit the crimes that he then knocked on them for. Hell, he gave some of these people the tools. He taught, you know, he gave people the means to hack some of these people, and they still, they're still, you know, trying to let them off and shit like that. And it's just, it drives me nuts. if I went and handed somebody a gun and told them, hey, go rob this convenience store, and then went and told the cops, hey, this person robbed this convenience store, I really doubt they're going to let me off. You know what I mean? I really doubt I'm just going to get to walk because I told on. But, you know.
He did a lot. If his rap sheet is for real, he did a lot of shit, dude.
A lot of shit.
Like, it almost seems unreal how much crap he did. Like, why would they even use this? Like, did he really have that good of skills? I mean, he had pretty good social engineering skills. That's for damn sure. But, you know, like he could talk a good game, but.
Luke had a lot of flack, but I mean, personally, I didn't talk to him a lot, and there are people out there who know him better who probably could speak on this a little more. But from what I understood, like the freedom op hacks and stuff like that, that was Sabu. So whether he's, I don't know. It seems to me like he's more skilled than what people want to let on. I'm definitely not saying he's the best hacker ever. I just, like I said, the Tunisian hack and shit like that, that was Sabu. The Freedom Op, that was Sabu. He had a hand in the HB Gary hacks, even though it's debated on how much of a role he actually played in the HB Gary hacks. Did you see that he was that the HB Gary hack ended up helping the feds?
Yeah, I would imagine that everything he did helped the feds.
Well, that's the thing is that the HB Gary hack, mind you, was before Sabu was caught and all that shit. But there were names on it that allegedly they were able to link back to the Chinese hackers who were doing all this shit. So even before Sabu was an actual snitch, he was helping the feds.
Oh, yeah. When I first saw this Lulzsec and all this shit and started paying attention to it, my first reaction is like, okay, these guys are going to get caught. They're going to get a bunch of – it's going to be like Kevin Mitnick. They're going to get caught. They're going to get a little time. And then they'll be consultants in like 5 years. They'll write books, and you'll see him on fucking Colbert pushing his new book. That's the one thing he told me. He's like, I'm going to write two books, one on decentralized organizations and another one on I know one of them was decentralized organizations. The other one was basically his experience in Anonymous.
Was it Sabu said that?
Yeah. When I talked to him, I remember him saying stuff like, yeah, man, in 5 years, I'm going to be doing talks at all these conferences and shit, and I'm going to have books out. You just watch, dude. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. I mean, look, I just think of Kevin Mitnick when I think of these high-profile people. Like, if he's as good as he is advertised, there's no way they'd lock that dude up.
The difference between Kevin Mitnick and Sabu, though, is Kevin Mitnick didn't roll over on all his friends. Or did
that's beside the point.
I bet
you Kevin Mitnick probably put his family through hell, put his friends through hell. When you're a fugitive on the run from the FBI for 3-4 years, they're going to be snooping around everywhere. They're going to hassle all your friends, all your relatives, everything. Like, I guarantee you, he got harassed.
There's a huge,
I don't guarantee you, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was. If you know what I mean.
There's a huge difference in your situation causing grief for the people around you, and you snitching on the people who you worked with, like. The hacker community, the tech community, that's something they'll never forget. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to sound cliche or whatever. You know, we don't forget.
You're right. It is definitely a difference. Maybe it's apples and oranges, but I think ultimately he's going to be.
Look at how Kevin Mitnick is already looked at by the current.
Huh?
Look at how Kevin Mitnick's already looked at by the current hacker celebrity. I didn't mean to say that scene.
He's already looked at as
a joke between a lot of people. You know what I mean? He's considered a sellout.
Line to a lot of jokes on the internet.
You know. So now imagine if you could also add snitch to that. You know what I mean? Sabu will have no respect. Nobody will respect anything Sabu says. He may be able to sell. He may be able to sell some books about his exploits and his adventure. But I mean, he's not going to be able to write any like technical type books. He's not going to be able to. He may be able to market them to a mainstream type market, but he's not going to be able to do it in the tech world, because the tech world, anything Sabu puts out,
he'll have a niche. He'll find a niche, dude.
Spread across the internet, so he doesn't make any money.
He'll find a niche, dude. Look at Brandon Darby. He's still out there doing shit. He wears the fact that he worked with the FBI as a badge of pride.
Yeah, but the difference is Brandon Darby wasn't a hacker. You know what I mean? The hacker community.
Life hacking. He was SE, social engineering, which is pretty much what I think Sabu is most guilty of.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the hacker community isn't going to allow Sabu to become anything other than a punchline of all their fucking jokes. Nobody likes snitches. You know what I mean?
I actually like Sabu. You know, I think what he did was fucked up. Same way I think of Commander X. You know, I don't think he made a wise choice, but I've talked to him, and talked to him in candid moments, and he just seems like a cool, down to earth dude that I could hang out and chill with, and chop it up with any old day of the week. I felt the same way about Owen when I met Owen from the PayPal 14.
Yeah.
Just a super ultra chill guy, very mellow, you, the kind of person you're like, this guy couldn't hurt a fly. Probably doesn't, these people are just curious personalities. They're interesting. And that was part of his charm, was part of what made him such a great social engineer.
You know, when it comes to X, I completely agree. I mean, you can find legitimate beefs about Commander X. But Commander X isn't as bad as people paint him out to be.
I like him. I think he's cool. He's like a hippie. I love hippies. You know, I grew up in Northern California, man. Like half my friends are hippies.
You know, there are thousands of people on the internet, on both sides, Anon or anti-Anon or white hat, black hat, however you want to put it, who are so much worse than Commander X. Like, and I get people's complaints about him. Trust me, I get them. If anybody follows me and him on Twitter, y'all see me and him argue on a regular basis. But at the same time, X isn't that bad. You know what I mean? Like, when it came to Op Israel, X put in a lot of work. He put in just as much work as anybody during Op Israel, and Op Israel probably wouldn't have been, you know, without the key people who were involved, Op Israel wouldn't have been what it was. And I think Op Israel was a highly successful operation. It was probably one of the more successful operations Anonymous has had recently. So there's something to be said about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Al, are you still here?
What? Yes. Hello.
Hey, Al. What's going on? Why are you so quiet?
My phone was like, I hate you.
Are you fapping? Were you fapping to
no.
Sicko?
No, my phone was like, I hate you. And then it like reset, and I was like, oh no, why you do that? And then it was like, JK, and then it came back on, and I was like, oh man. So I've just been listening because I don't keep up on this stuff. But kind of. I only keep up on it, whatever Sicko says on Twitter. So that's all I know about stuff. So I'm quiet. Yeah.
Fair enough. Thank you for chiming in there. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
What kind of music do you listen to?
I don't know. It's always different. Like today, I've been listening to Jack Johnson.
Oh, God.
What?
Seriously?
Well, that and, like, Pink.
Oh, Pink?
What? What? I like her.
What else is in your rotation?
I've been listening to, like, Sigur Rós and Woodkid and Coldplay, I don't know, just random stuff.
Coldplay?
Yeah, Coldplay.
How about Nickelback? You listen to Nickelback?
My uncle's in Nickelback, excuse me.
Your uncle is in Nickelback?
Yes.
Get the fuck out. Are you serious?
I swear to God.
Your uncle is in Nickelback. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think everyone's going to kill me after hearing that. They're like, wow, get off the internet. And I'm like, okay.
No, it's okay. Don't worry.
I don't know if you guys listen to country music at all, but y'all know.
I love country.
Okay. Fuck. What's this? God damn it. My whole mind went blank now. All right. Give me a second. I'll be back to this. But my dad's first wife, her brother played bass guitar for, God damn it, I can't think of his fucking name now, and it's driving me nuts.
Suicidal Tendencies?
No, that's obviously not a country band. Give me one second. Let me do some Googling.
Oh, a country band. Candlebox.
No. Neil McCoy.
Leonard Skinner.
No, Neil McCoy.
That's the name of it? No McCoy. I don't even know what you're saying.
What's his name?
I have no idea.
Neil McCoy. Alex, you might be too young to know who Neil McCoy is. I
don't know who Neil McCoy. BRB. Let me Google that for you.
Yeah, BRB is right. Okay. You know what? We're all going to be BRB. How about that? Okay? I think my guest might be here. I have several callers that are waiting patiently on hold. I'm going to screen those calls. And if you want to join us, 347-826-7667 is the number. We're anticipating having a guest call in, Mr. Andrew Panda Blake. He goes by AP Blake on Twitter. So he's going to be on the line with us next. Stick around. Before that happens, though, we're going to take a break and have Patriot Greg. I hope I'm not Patriot Gregging at all. Sicko, have I been Patriot Gregging at all?
Nope. Actually, you haven't Patriot Gregged once that I heard.
Yeah, he has.
Well, Musk says you have. I guess really? The pain medicine made it through. I'm not noticing
it. I wonder, because I remember back in, you know, there's been, you know, I've been doing BTR for 3-4 years now. And one of the bugs I remember happening one time was where when you're broadcasting, it sounds like you're Patriot Gregging. But then when you go back in the archive, somehow it's okay. Like, I don't know. I haven't gone back and listened, but that might be the same scenario. So what I'm saying, people, is if I Patriot Greg a lot, just listen back to the archives afterward. And also tip your waitress. We're going to take a break. 347-826-7667. We're going to be right back with Andrew Panda Blake. And like I said, Patriot Greg, will you lead us in a prayer and bless this Blog Talk Radio show tonight? Thank you.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I ask you, Father, to bless each and every one who are listening to this show live, and also those who will be listening in the archive. I thank you for Blog Talk Radio and for this channel that you have given us to fellowship with our brothers and sisters from all over the country and the world.
Hello. not a whole lot going on.
You're
We on the network?
We're on the network.
Goal!
Cletus.
What's going on?
We're on the network.
Penis.
Wow, that was intense, dude.
Wow. That was
fucking intense.
Nor can more.
You should have been more specific.
Patriot Greg.
My heart is not intuitive. All right.
I know.
Oh,
my
God.
It's
really not. It's okay. It's my flaw.
Patriot Greg.
Hey, Vince, there's a change in the troll wars. Goofy's going to be upset.
Am I live?
You're on the air.
What's up, Ghost?
How's it going?
Just wanted to invite you to the troll wars on Monday if you wanted to come onto the show.
Jesus Christ. Damn off! These people are idiots.
Hello? My name's Larry O'Connor.
This is William Jefferson Clinton.
I'm a troll and a liar.
Bitch in the Bay. He is not gay.
Stupid son of a bitch. Shut up.
Is that Vincent the Gay or what?
Vince the Bay.
The Gay Bay.
Vince is not gay.
Cactus.
That's right.
Some fruity ass little fruit bowl named Vincent the Bay.
Yeah,
right, me.
Vince is a
slump
troll.
Yahoo.
Cactus.
What about Vince in the Bay?
Vince in the Bay.
Vince in the Bay.
The Gay Bay.
Vince in the Bay.
Representing the Bay.
We're on the network.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Call in now, biatches, 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show. Oh, yeah. VITB back up in this. Just rocking out there during the potty break. And excited to have my guest queued up and ready to go here. Before I get to him, I want to do a quick big ups to the folks in the chat room. The Valiant Keyboard Warriors, who hold things down in the chat room. It's one of the shows within the show. And who do we got in here? We got Anon Blue, Anon Sicko, Canadian Glenn, City of Flint, Danny Dantalian, Fermil, From Korea, Gonzo PhD, Bach Mechanism, Melissa 13, Knickknack, Ninjas in Paris, Robotic Chaotic, Russell Legal Radio Live, Soul Butter, Spyco is here, Tales of Hair and Hairy Tales in the building, big ups to Vert in the house, Zone Ghost, that's a different one. What's up, Zone Ghost? That's kind of a cool name. And last but not least, down here says, "Get at me, bitches! Get at me, bitches!" Welcome to the chat room. Okay, so my co-hosts tonight are Anon Sicko and Owl.
Yeah.
And my guest is with us now. Please welcome to the program, Andrew Blake. What's up, Blake?
Good. Do you want to go by Andrew or do you want to go by Blake?
You know, either. My name is Andrew, but my last name is Blake. I just doxed myself. Shit. So, you know,
dude,
either,
you're not
either,
allowed,
either way.
Okay, you just violated a rule of my show. You're not supposed to give out personal information either
the
air or in the
chat room. I also just
chat room
through my Facebook, so, you know. That's the thing. That's the really unfortunate thing about covering, like, as a gerbilmalist, that being really involved in an entire culture where people thrive on anonymity and having to kind of immerse myself into that, yet know that there's no way to actually stay anonymous for myself because as a member of the media or whatever you want to call it, I kind of have to have some sort of identity in order to gain credibility. Not that I want to be credible, but you know, it kind of sucks because I relate to all these people who I adore through pseudonyms, but here I am, you know, in the flesh as a guy with a face and stuff. But yeah, hello, internet. Nice to talk to you tonight, internet.
That's right. They call you guys face fags.
Who are we now?
You're a face fag, right, Sicko?
You know,
am I wrong?
No, that's good because, you know, once upon a time I was a summer fag and then I turned into a new fag. For a while I thought I was a moral fag, but if I'm going to be a face fag, that's fine. Personally, yeah. I'd prefer to be a journal fag just because
journal
I
face
have
fag.
To have...
Journal face fag, yep.
Journal mm-hmm. face fag. Okay, I can, okay. I buy that. That'll do.
That's basically what Bear Brown was, right?
Oh, let's not even get started on Bear. We can talk all night about Barrett. You know, the
I'm
thing I think
to.
That
I'm just
like
saying.
We really there needs to be a discussion about how everything happening with Jeremy Hammond right now. I know Jeremy Hammond and Bear Brown are horses of other colors.
Tell us what's up with Jeremy.
What's up?
What is up with Jeremy Hammond? We were talking about him earlier, and
yeah.
What's your take on what went down today?
I mean, I was at an event here in D.C. A few hours ago. Someone I had never met walked up to me and handed me a copy of Judge Preska's ruling from today. And I read it. It was the first thing I did. I walked into a room of 100 people who I did not know, and someone came up to me and said, "Read this." And I took a look at it. It was just like, well, blow me down. Like, I did not expect her to step down from this case. I thought it would have been an appropriate move. I didn't expect it. But her actual, I think it's like a 21-page ruling I was just taking a look at before I called up. Man alive, she is just, it seems like her ruling today would be, I mean, I'm no legal fag, but her ruling today would be enough to go ahead and award at least applying for some sort of appeal and any possible conviction, because she kind of goes after not just Hammond, but anyone who has supported him. Like, in her ruling today, she said pretty much, "Lay off me, you're doing nothing, I own this court, suck it." I mean, that's what I got out of it.
How stupid is it that a judge gets to decide if he steps down or not? Like, why is it not another judge or you know, some kind of oversight committee or something that would make that decision? You know, obviously, if she's biased in the case and feels like she's used this case to get revenge, then she's not going to step down. She's going to say, "Oh, well, I'm unbiased, so shut the fuck up."
I was looking at the hearing from today. There's one part I'm going to quote it really quick. And she says, "The decision to grant or deny a recusal motion is committed to the sound discretion of the judge to whom the motion is directed." And that's like an old school rule. It's like a Second Circuit ruling from 1988 that she cited there. So that kind of baffles me. Like, we're seeing all this stuff in the last couple of months, especially since Aaron's passing in early January. But we've been seeing like all this stuff like prosecutorial overreach. You know, they're just like out to get them, and like there's all these like new jacks like in the court that are trying to wage this war on activists. But no, here's a decision from 1989 or 1988 or whatever that says, hey, if a judge wants to step down, it's up to her. Hey, she's a judge, right? Like, I don't know. That sounds like an Andrew Dice Clay joke somehow, if I rhymed. But, it's screwy. It almost seems like it's one of those things where you look over and you're like, no, that's not the case. Like, can you imagine that in, like, any other profession at all? I don't know. Like, let's say I'm a garbage man. And they're like, yo, Andrew, you can't be a garbage man anymore.
Yeah, it just makes so little sense to me. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, as a quote unquote gerbil malist, I have to be somewhat subjective or objective, which is the one I'm supposed to be. I forget, but you know. Supposed to be that one. And it's really tough when you look at things like this and go, but I don't know. It seems like that's happening more and more to me lately. In fact, you know, I had this discussion with someone earlier tonight that it seems like more and more people that I've been talking to just for whatever reason, for out of my own pleasure or for work-related miscellanea, that the more and more people I talk to are ending up in prison for things that are just laughable. Like the fact that I have to have I get phone calls from my mom wondering like, so what happened to Barrett Brown today? Like, that's not how my mom sounds. But like the fact that these things are that outrageous that people who don't care and shouldn't care about these things are like freaking out over them, like, makes me think that we have a little bit of work to do, but who am I? I'm just one person. And when has one man ever been able to change anything?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it would be different if, say, this was some kind of conspiracy theory type stuff, you know what I mean, where we were where we were drawing these, you know, far-fetched fucking connections where it was like this judge's second cousin's dog walker's wife who was affected, but this is her husband. And it's not just a guess that his husband was on the list. The facts are facts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In the ruling today, I was like just looking over a minute ago, and she goes and says, "Yeah, well, you know, his name's in there, but his credit card number wasn't in there. It was just his email address. And you know what? He doesn't even remember signing up for this email. And he like, you know, it's cool. Don't worry about it. It's NBD." NBD, like, pretty much, is, like, the entire thing in there. And, like, even if, you know, he didn't, like, have any monetary investment in this entire thing, like, the kids, like, in any case whatsoever, and the judge has some sort of connection to a victim, whether a case involves one victim, two victims, or 3,000 victims, it doesn't matter. If the case... Like, the connection is there, and that should be enough to have people say something. But, you know, I'm assuming this will be enough grounds for some sort of appeal. But, like, Christ, at this point, when are we even going to see a trial? Like, this is a thing that really kind of excites me and actually makes me anxious to see this case wrap up, is that at this rate, any Hammond trial could very well be the first civilian case where an accused WikiLeaks source is actually brought to justice, which is going to set like a crazy precedent. Not legally, but it's going to set an example, being like, oh well, this is what we did for this WikiLeaks source. Watch out, information activists, you're not going to do anything. And then sorry to drag Barrett back into this, but like it's the same deal. He's connected to it, and you know.
The same thing with the PayPal 14, who are probably on the fringe of connected to WikiLeaks. You know what I mean? What they did was just a response to something with WikiLeaks. They weren't actually involved with WikiLeaks. But I mean, you look at their case. What they were arrested two years ago? I mean, something like almost 30 months ago or whatever. And they're still talking settlements and shit like they're PayPal is still yet to show these people what damages they've caused. I mean, there's all kinds of shady shit that PayPal is doing, and you can see the shadiness in some of the other cases that happened overseas. You know what I mean? Like with the Lolzcart case in Romania, which of course Romania has their own issues right now, you know, with horse meat and shit. But so they were probably like, "Look, guys, we got to deal with this horse meat stuff. So let's go ahead and get this kid out of here. We're gonna have to. We're gonna be
this." Think they were like, "Hey." Because it's horse.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Guys,
go
let's
on.
Get back on track here. Back on track. All right, guys. Come on. We're talking about hey. What the hell's going on? Hey, I have to interrupt you. Hey, we have a special guest who's joining us now. I think you know who he is. Let's see if he's here. That's right.
Oh yeah, what up? It's Tyrone in the house, yo. What's going on, AP Blake? What's going on, and Sicko? What's happening, yo?
Hi, Tyrone. Pleasure to meet you.
Yo, what's up, AP Blake? Listen, man, I wanted to ask you a question, though, man. Listen, see, I was sitting there at my computer, and I was looking around, and I seen BBC wrote a story about the Russell League. You know what I'm saying? I was like, BBC doing it right. You know what I'm saying? I seen some motherfucking Malaysian newspaper wrote a story about the Russell League. I was like, them Malaysians doing it right. You know what I'm saying? You know who I ain't seen write a story about the Russell League? I ain't seen Andrew Blake write a story about the Russell League hacking Anonymous. I was like, man, what's going on, man? Andrew Blake falling off.
You know
what
you got
to say about him?
I said it once, I'll say it again, and I'll say it a million more times. Them Malaysians are always going to be on the ball. So that's apples and oranges right there. If you want to say that Andrew Blake has anything on Malaysians, you, sir, are mistaken. That's something that's a nationality I just cannot compete with, especially those Malaysian journalists, those hotshot Malaysian journalists stealing shitty stories from the BBC about
No, no,
yeah.
It was two separate things, man. It was the Malaysian newspaper, and then
what?
They had the BBC. The BBC.
Did they have newspapers
it was real
in Malaysia?
British people. Listen, it was real British white people reporting about their Russell League hacking anonymous Twitter. Real British white folk. You know what I'm saying? Now, I need an American white folk. I need an American white boy named Andrew Blake to write a story
Wait,
about Russell League.
For all you know, I could be very, what's not white? I'm very, I could be Malaysian for all you know. Shit. Blake could be a Malaysian, man.
I don't care what color you is. I need Andrew Blake, freaking internet producer for the RT, to write a story.
Oh, hold
about
on. We're not using any labels over here, okay? I'm off the clock right now, buddy. I'm just a fool from the internet here to
take it
here
up
to chit chat
project. Make
Prime
it your
Minister.
Hobby. Pretend you making a model rocket and write a story about the Russell League. It can be your hobby.
Is there going to be airplane glue involved?
You can sniff some glue if you want to that make you write better. I don't know. That's up to you.
Listen here, Sally. I didn't say can I sniff it. I said is it going to be involved? I forgot words. You win.
How you gonna forget words, man? You a journalist, dog. Oh, you slipping, AP Blake. AP Blake caught slipping.
This is one sleepy peach over here. Let me tell you, it has been I was up. Whole Hammond thing today. I can hear the live stream from the court. I couldn't make it up to New York City, so I had to rely on Intrepid. I don't know whoever the hell was holding an iPhone up to Michael Ratner's face this morning to catch all that shit.
Nobody care about old Jeremy Hammond dick in a booty all ass. No, he gonna get raped in prison. Ain't nobody care about that. That's old news. You need to write a story about Russell League, dog.
I'm sorry. The dick's in the what hole?
Dick in a booty hole ass.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nobody care about
booty hole. Gotcha.
Nobody care about Jeremy Hammond old dick in a booty hole ass. You know what I'm saying? You need to write a story about Russell League, dog.
Tyrone, I think this is the beginning of a very beautiful reporter source confidential relationship. I
listen,
like
you know what I'm saying. I ain't gonna go into no specifics on the air, but
we lose Tyrone.
The rats.
Oh well, we lost Tyrone. Thanks for coming out, Tyrone. Appreciate the call. 347-826-7667 is the number. I have Blake here with me. Now, Blake, moving on to Sabu. What do you think is going to go down in the courtroom tomorrow with him?
You know, I've been trying to figure this out all week because I believe his last two scheduled court appearances, our boy Hector didn't even show up, which I guess is legit. Like, that's allowed when it's just, you know, bullshit or whatever. But so tomorrow is supposed to be the sentencing, but because there's no information about this and because the sensitivity of the nature, I feel like that has, that's playing a factor in how little is actually being released to the public, to the media. So, you know, the last thing that we heard is that he's going to be sentenced tomorrow, but even that news is a few months old. So whether or not anything's actually going to happen tomorrow, I have no idea. And this is one of those things where, yeah, sure, I need to figure it out. But, I tried to get a hold of people, could not figure out for certain if it's happening tomorrow. So for all I know, I think this is also very likely, and I don't mean to speculate right here, but, the last time he was supposed to be sentenced, what they pulled was, he's cooperating still. He's still working as an FBI informant. Let's give him another 6 months. So that was back in August. And for all we know, he's still doing stuff. Like, look at the heightened attack on any sort of hackers or hacktivists during the last couple of not just weeks, but even days. Like, this week has been insane. This is going to be a whole different subject, but the White House and Department of Justice memo that came out or report that came out yesterday pretty much, more or less, in my opinion, rekindles the entire Obama administration's attack on WikiLeaks, Anonymous, and LulzSec, if that's still a thing. But sorry, I was just looking at the chat and I just saw the word Sue Basco and I just IRL LOL.
I'm sorry, Blake. Oh yeah, I got to do some chat room moderation here. Pardon me, Blake.
We're not allowed to say her name on this show, or Vince is going to get sued.
You can't. Okay, from now on, the woman you were speaking, whose name you just said, she's known on this program as she whose name we shall not say.
Can we say Boo Sasco?
You can say Boo, name we shall not say.
Can I call her Boo? That's kind of cute.
Call her your Boo. Call her your Boo. That's fine.
All right.
You've
I'm into
a little
that.
Pet name. I'm going to give Floss. I'm going to give Floss 2 minutes for scrolling. Floss.
Is she in there right now? I'm not even sure. At this point, I don't even know who is Boo and who is Danny and who is Ass Hurts. For all I know, they're all the same person.
Yeah, they are, actually.
They are all the exact same person.
Yep. It's pretty obvious, you know, once you just pay close enough attention. Kind of like... You ever listen to Phil Hendry?
No, who's that?
Oh, he's this late-night talk show comic that does a bunch of different characters and does a fake call-in show, essentially, where he plays the characters on the phone. Essentially trolls his legitimate callers. He'll play himself, Phil Hendry, just the straight arrow, like, hey, this is Phil Hendry, it's blah, 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 we're talking about Barack Obama's new haircut, what do you think about him? And then we, our special guest is Sandy, Schmernowitz, who owns a boutique in Ventura, and she's, and then he does the voice for the chick, and for a while, if you first listen to him, at least for me, it was almost imperceptible to me that he was playing all the voices. Like, he's got people, supposed co-hosts and stuff. He does their voices. He does all the voices. He almost never has somebody else talk on his show. He does all the voices. And it's kind of like whose line is it anyway? Where it's just on the fly to, improv comedy.
Improv, sign me up.
He's essentially doing it on the air by himself. If you go to YouTube and search for Phil Hendry, Hendrie, you'll see YouTube's videos of him doing it in studio. Like, he'll be on the studio mic, and then he'll switch to the telephone mic, and then he'll switch back to the studio mic. He'll do it like almost seamlessly, but it took me a couple months. I hadn't seen those videos. I was just listening to them. The first time I really listened to them, I listened to them for maybe 6 or 7 months, and it probably took me almost that amount of time before I realized he was doing all the fucking voices. Like, at first I thought, okay, it's just him, and he's got one buddy, that sounds a lot like him, and they just have a thing. And for a long time, I was convinced it was him and another guy. And then I realized, I was like, you know what? Because then I started listening. Because as a sound person, you listen to stuff overlapping and stuff. And I finally realized that he was never overlapping technically over the other callers.
So he's just brilliant.
Yeah. So he does it brilliantly. Like, but the comedy is like hit and miss, though. That's why I compared it to... what do you call it? Whose line is it anyway? Where it's like hit and miss. Where like sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's just corny and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping something sticks.
On that note, I think it's relevant to say that ever since I found out that Bart Simpson was voiced by a woman, I haven't been able to watch that show in the same way.
Yeah, I just don't watch television altogether unless it's
sports. Oh, edgy.
Sports. That's it. Sports. Hey, you want to take some more calls, Blake? We got a bunch of people on the line that I think.
I would love to. So how does this work? Do I just hang out, and then if someone says something and I want to talk,
to? Eventually, the show just becomes like, ideally, it's like it starts. There's an intro. I do a monologue. I play a song. I bring on my co-host. We bullshit for a little while, then we hopefully have a guest, bullshit with the guest for a while, then play some music, and come back, bullshit for a while, and just keep adding people on until by the end of the show it's complete audio spaghetti, and just shut it down at that juncture.
Yo, you just tell me when to shut it down, and I will shut Mother down.
Well, ideally, it would be like the second half of the show is like a panel discussion where you could just have anywhere from 3 to 10 panelists.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I've had like 20. Like having the entire Russell League on the panel at one time. That's basically what I had last night.
Wait, how are we putting identities of Russell League? I thought Russell League was anonymous. I thought Russell League was there was no identities there.
Hello.
No, they all have identities. They're not anonymous.
Wow.
I know. I'm just trying to troll the trolls. Cool. I'm being
somebody
so funny. I don't know.
Just for that, I will submit you to.
Thank God.
No, you will be. I will be unleash Spyko on you. Here's Spyko. Spyko, you're on with...
Oh, hey, what's up?
Hey, buddy, what's happening, man?
Jesus Christ! Please don't play that sound, Mike. Please don't sound that. Oh.
I'm just chilling with Schmoke over here, and he's fucking going wild. I don't know what is going on. Like, fucking shut up, Schmoop. Anyways, fucking, I don't know what's going on, you know. Like, I have to fucking lock him in a closet. That's ridiculous.
Are you tripping, bud?
Fucking...
Oh, you're a nigga! You're a nigga!
Nigga. Like, for real. Like,
you tripping, man? You tripping balls, man? Shit.
Oh, you're a nigga!
I'm fucking
you're a nigga!
I'm gonna deal with the fucking
Matthews everyone was talking about.
Time out. Spyko, 2 minutes for playing that hideous Schmoop soundboard on a loop.
Yeah, I mean, I already had to put up with Marilyn Manson tonight, so really, if you want to annoying.
Got some Nickelback coming up.
Dude, the morphine tonight is fantastic. That's the second time I stumbled into a setting where morphine was being played this evening.
I love morphine. I was lucky enough to catch them one time. They were awesome.
Yeah, I saw them
band.
So maybe like 3 years ago. So after Sandman passed away, but I saw like the rest of the band. I was still like blown away by what they do today. It's still.
The thing, though, is he added so much of that unique instrumental sound because he played a two-stringed bass.
Yeah, the two-string slide bass, too, yeah. He, and this isn't a joke, he taught the President of the United States of America everything they know. They bonded, and he was the one who hooked up, I don't know how into mid-90s alternative rock you are, but he's the one that was like, hey, guys, don't use those six-string guitars. Here's a two-string guitar. Here's a three-string guitar. Now go make rock and roll songs. And they made Lump, and they made Peaches, and they made Kitty, and they had a bunch of hits. Between the two stringed players, they only had 5 strings. And it was all because Sandman was like, hey, try this out. You can do some cool shit. So that's all. Yeah, let's take some calls. Let's get some web. Yeah, all right. I just poured another drink. Let's do this.
Okay, let's take another call. We have another caller. I think this might be our friend from Russia.
Excuse me, Vince. Do you mind if I introduce the caller? I've always wanted to do this.
Oh. Go ahead. Introduce the caller.
Okay. Caller.
Is he Patriot Gregging?
Yeah, I think Patriot Gregged a little bit there.
Okay, say it again.
Caller, go ahead.
Yes, this is Ivan from Russia League. How is it going today, Vince and AP Blake? How are you?
Hey, good. What's happening?
It's going very good here. But the only thing I have to say is, AP Blake, why do you not write story about the Russia League hack Anonymous Twitter?
Where are you calling me from right now? You calling me from the Tigra? Is this the Siberian long distance?
I do not give away my location to you. Meteorite right hit my house last night, and I
anonymous. There you go.
No, I am not anonymous. I am Russell League Russia, Russian League, Russian League.
Yeah,
remember
back in the day when Lulzsec inspired all these Lulzsec, you know, Lulzsec Brazil, Lulzsec Chile, you know. Well, there's Wrestle League has the same thing. They have
it was bound to happen, especially now that they made the big leagues. Now that they're in the BBC, they're starting off little tiny chapters all across the world. It was inevitable, I suppose. Wow.
We'll see, AP Blake. No, you listen, because Ivan has always been in Russell League. Because Ivan was underground.
O-S-H-I-T.
No, you don't understand. Ivan was underground member, come to the surface after big anonymous hack, make public Russell League, Russian Twitter, at the Russia League, and make it public after big anonymous hack. But Ivan has always been
Ivan?
Russell
Am I speaking
League.
With Ivan? Is that it?
Yes,
this is
Ivan
from
Russia
League, yes.
Hi, Ivan. Nice to meet you. Go on.
Nice to meet you, Andrew Blake. Why do you not write story about Russell League hack anonymous Twitter, though? That's what I don't understand.
You know, Ivan, I could give you an excuse if I really wanted to give you an excuse and tell you that. Wait, I forget where I was going with this. Let me tell you what I did today, though. I got up quite early. Okay, who was I speaking with? Yeah, so I was watching the hack unfold last night. Okay, I was privy. 24 hours ago, I was lamping, hanging out on the Twits. I saw it happen, and I went, it's past this panda's bedtime. I'm going to go to sleep. And when I wake up, shit, I got things to do. So I woke up. I saw the BBC story before I even got out of the house. I IRL LOL'd. Then I walked to work, and then I got busy. And, you know, there's only so many things
busy with more important news than Russell League, though. Jeremy Hammond news more important than Russell League, though.
Let me tell you, when you're my editor, then you can tell me what to do. But until that, man,
who
you know,
is your editor?
I gotta make
we
that paper.
Okay? We dox your editor. We send him 300 pounds of potatoes now. Your editor needs 300 pounds of potatoes sent to his house. Well, who is your editor?
What are we mailing now? Because I want in on this. I like mailing things.
I'm sorry, I was screening calls. I apologize, Blake. I was screening calls. You know what? I'm not even familiar. Can you tell us about you're a journalist? What publications do you write for?
Oh gosh, I'm not sure. See, I'm I am. How am I being? Who do I represent tonight? I've been a gerbilmalist for this and that place for a better part of a decade, but I've been employed primarily by the American arm of the media Russia Today for the last 2 years or so. So technically, my if you're Uncle Sam and you want me to fill out my taxes, I would tell you that I work for RTTV Incorporated.
What about Uncle Stalin?
That was good. I wish I could.
Are you taller than? Let me ask you this: are you taller than Putin?
How tall is Putin? He bet he's a tiny guy, isn't he? Because I'm a little guy.
That Vladimir Putin is kickboxer? AP Blake, do you think you could go into the octagon with Vladimir Putin?
He's 5'7".
No, I'm sorry. I totally just had this crazy. I had this terrible dream last night. No nightmare. Where I was at the doctor's office, and they went to go measure my height. And they're like, oh, Andrew, 5'8", it says on your license. And I went, I know. And they went, you're 5'6". And then I think they ripped up my driver's license, and then I think units of measurement just ceased to exist after that. I think I, like, jinxed measurement. It was a pretty bad dream, but, I mean, I survived. I think the question was, could I destroy Vladimir Putin with my bare hands? And, one, yes, and two, bring
you
it.
You are a liar. You are a dirty liar. Vladimir Putin is kickboxer.
Hey, you.
You
can suck my dick. You can suck, you can.
You are a liar. Yeah. You cannot fight Vladimir Putin in man-on-man combat. He will destroy you. He's trained in over 7 forms of Krav Maga.
Is he trained in slapping and hair pulling? Didn't think so.
He will rip your toenails from your toes and then shove them down your throat while I scream.
Yeah, well, I'm going to rip his toenails out of his fingers. How do you even think that's possible?
This is kind of turning me on.
Quantum physics is not allowed in mixed martial arts fighting, first of all. You are
a cheater. No, I never agreed to some MMA. I was going to do a Texas ladder match or one of the cage matches. But not that bullshit WWF cage matches where they had the big blue one. No, I want the chain link one. Either the chain link or the Texas ladder. It's one or the other.
You and Vladimir Putin inside the Hell in a Cell. I guarantee you Vladimir Putin will win.
Yeah? All right. Well, make it happen. Call Don King. You book this. Give me one night.
And the bear, a Russian bear will be special guest referee.
Oh, speaking of bears, when you were talking earlier tonight, Vince, about our dear friend Commander.
Thanks for calling, Ivan. That was Ivan, by the way, everybody. He's gone.
Good night.
Thanks,
Ivan.
Aw, that's what I mean.
When you were talking about Commander X, all I could think about was that profile that was done on him a few months ago, whatever online magazine that was, where he was talking about his Underground Railroad excursion out of California and into Canada, where he was seeking refuge, and he was traveling through the woods, and he fought a bear. You know what I'm talking about? Did you see this?
No.
Oh, no, there is, like, a serious, like, 6-page profile of Commander X that was done maybe 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago. And it's really good, but he's, like, talking about, like, hiking through the woods in order to, like, get, like, safe passage to Canada, and he's trying to elude the feds, and now he has the international authorities on him. But then, like, all of a sudden, a bear shows up. It's like Commander X versus a bear. And this is seriously the story that he told to this journalist. Like, yeah, man, it's just, you know, a bear. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what tone of voice he used when he explained it to him. But, yeah, it's
I can imagine.
Commander X wrestled a bear, more or less. More or less.
Commander X called my... Commander X was a guest on my show not too long ago.
I like that fella. I'm into him. I feel like respect is owed. And until he wrongs me personally or does something too egregious, I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. But I think he seems like a solid feller. What do I know? I'm a terrible judge of character. I mean, look at me. I called in tonight. I should be sleeping.
I don't think Commander, or at least to me, Commander X's character has never been a an issue. I think he thinks some things that I don't necessarily agree with, but that's obviously I'm never going to hate on somebody for having different thoughts than I do, or even for believing that Anonymous is something that I don't believe Anonymous is or whatnot. You know what I mean? But like I said, Commander X's heart's in the right place. The only thing that you can really argue with Commander X is his methods. And to me, it's hard to judge somebody's methods until you've lived in their shoes and you know what's going on in their life. You know what I mean?
No, it's the exact same way, and that's why I've taken a lot of heat for communicating with this person and that person who are, you know, viewed in different communities as being bad guys when, you know, really, just because one person says one thing doesn't mean that you have to take their word for it. It's always good to get to know someone. I totally agree. And I think it's admirable, the conviction that he's put towards some of the international ops, like Tunisia, Syria. I'm assuming he was involved in the Israel stuff in October, November, if I recall correctly. But yeah, that's something that I think the mainstream media, CNN in particular, I know tried to really pick up the whole Israeli op Gaza, whatever the hell that was a few months ago. But it sucks that you still see things all the time like Anonymous. What do they do? They don't do anything. But like the pairing between Anonymous and Telecomics a few months ago about trying to get Palestine back online, it's like phenomenal. And like the whole the whole action happening right now regarding Kashmir, I'm only starting to just now pay attention to that, just because it's really hard for me to grasp international politics for regions that I absolutely know nothing about. It's literally starting from scratch. But
me personally, when it comes to international politics and stuff like that, like, I have my own beliefs, and you know, especially when, like, it comes to Palestine, and I'm really, you know, I'm really passionate about Palestine and stuff like that, but that's not why I got involved, and same thing with Kashmir. The politics aren't why people got involved, and even Egypt, it wasn't the politics that got people involved, it was the shutting off of communication.
That's what I should mean. Like, I mean, but the politics behind that elude me. Like, I don't know why the government is doing that, but that doesn't matter. The fact that they actually did that is enough reason. Like, there is not a legitimate reason for anyone to say you can no longer be part of modern society.
Exactly. You know. Same thing we saw with, you know, with the BART protest. Anonymous, while, you know, a lot of us, you know, feel very passionate about the cause of why people were out there or whatnot, but that's not why people got involved. People got involved because communications were shut off, and regardless on how you feel about any kind of protest, debate, or whatever, you cannot shut off people's communication. Not only,
you know, I can't believe that even happened. Looking back on it, like the whole Bay Area rapid transit system going, oh hey, the police still want people to use their phones to communicate today, so that's not happening. The fact that there wasn't an uproar over that, like on a national level, like baffles me. But I mean, I'm to blame too, because I know I was reporting on it, and I don't know why I didn't just freak out and, you know, tell everyone in the world. But the fact that happened in America, in San Francisco, where they just went, oh, hey, or Oakland, or, you know, whatever, just saying,
right.
Hey, look, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you go off, but it just caught me off guard because I forgot that actually happened, like, in America. That just seems so ridiculous. But.
You know, Op Bart was the first op that I took part in online. We just watched the Freedom Ops and the Arab Spring go down, you know what I mean? And so, because I first met Anons in real life. I first met Anons standing outside of a Church of Scientology and really didn't get involved with online stuff until the Summer of Lulz, as Vince likes to put it. We're watching all this stuff getting up on the Freedom Ops and shit like that, and then all of a sudden I wake up one day and the same shit that Anons had just put and they really did. Anons put their well-being on the line. They put their freedom from going to jail or whatever on the line. There were Anons, you know, in real life, you know, in Egypt and Tunisia and stuff, who helped do things, telecomic agents who helped do things, you know, in the physical world as well. So all of these people had just done all of this shit, you know, for another country, and then all of a sudden it was happening in our own backyard. And a lot of us sat there like, wow, like, I didn't believe it at first. You know, this is before Occupy, you know, this is before my generation has seen massive protests, you know, with the exception of the anti-war movement, you know. But even then, you know, I'm in my mid 20s.
Me too, buddy.
Even the anti, you know, the anti-war movement, my generation didn't really see. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When all that shit was going down, we were kids in middle school and high school.
When 9/11 happened, like, we didn't understand. I mean, let's be honest, we knew it was bad, but, like, we didn't, you know, we weren't, I doubt you, if you were in your mid-20s, I doubt 11 years ago you were really that much fascinated on the politics of, you know, Western Asia and what was happening between the United States and Afghanistan and the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. Like, I didn't know. I had no idea. So, like, we've all, like, this entire generation. In fact, someone actually said that today. Someone said, you know, what bothers me about your generation is that you've only experienced the post 9/11 world, and it's very frighteningly true. But yeah,
I know exactly what you're meaning. There's a lot to be said for that. You know what I mean? There's a lot to be said that the only world, you know, that, you know, I tweeted the other day, there's two generations that right now that are living in this world. You know, there's my generation in the early, mid, late 20s. And then you have, you know, the kids who are in high school and middle school now. And these two generations have only seen the world as it is post 9/11. They only know Big Brother is always surveilling them. You know, they don't know what it's like to not be under surveillance. They don't know what it's like to not have such a huge prison industrial complex. They don't know what it's like to not be at war. So they don't know what it's like to not have the government feeding on propaganda and all of this. So I think that's one of the reasons why you see things like Anonymous and Occupy taking such strong roots, especially, you know, Anonymous, who, you know, while Occupy may have faded or whatever, Anonymous is still, you know, is still there, and you're probably never going to get rid of the idea of Anonymous. Whatever form that takes on at the time, but it'll probably be something that's a mainstay in culture now. There's reason for that, and that's because these kids are finally seeing, hey, while this may be the only world we've ever seen, it's not the only world that is not only possible, but that has existed. Just prior to us coming into our own, a whole different type of world existed. Mm-hmm. So that alone is why, I mean, you'll never see non-popular movements anymore. You know what I mean? From now until the time that this stuff is actually changed, there will forever be a youth movement trying to drive change, because luckily my generation finally has a cause to stand behind, and they finally have a belief structure instead of just being fed what the government is telling them. Sorry,
yeah,
we're not.
I mean, I'm totally missing. I got such a boner for every single, like, IRL action that was happening last year. I didn't necessarily stand behind every single ethos that, like, members, you know, so-called members of Occupy Wall Street were rallying for. A lot of them, absolutely, yes. However, like, seeing those actions being displayed on the streets and seeing, like, the police state expand in my very eyes, like, you know, being, you know, like, you know, I've been hit by police in Washington, and I've been hit by police in New York City, all, you know, with my press pass showing while filming, like, with a camera for just, you know, covering peaceful demonstrations. And, like, it's really one of those things, you know, I was talking tonight. Hey, Vince, how are we doing on time? Are we good right now?
Yeah, keep going. I'm going to bring on. I have a few other guests and callers that we're going to bring on shortly. But go ahead, finish your thought.
Okay. Oh no. So earlier tonight, I went to an event here in D.C. actually for John Kiriakou. Are you familiar with him? Either of you?
No idea who he is. No. Oh, actually, yeah. Great filmmaker. I loved his early stuff. Lately,
ooh,
he kind of sold out though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his earlier hardcore Hong Kong. Splatter flicks were badass, but he's kind of sold out with this Hollywood stuff.
Ever since they name dropped him in that Bare Naked Ladies song, he's just been like friggin' Hollywood.
I have no clue
right?
Who that is. Please enlighten us.
Okay, John Kiriakou was a CIA agent, circa 9/11, and he was moved either to Afghanistan or Pakistan. I forget either one. Immediately after 9/11, and he was the fella who back in, I believe, 2006 or 2007, he went on NBC News, ABC News, one or the other, and said, hi, you know what the Bush administration is doing overseas? They're waterboarding people, and it's not cool. And he got a lot of heat after that and kind of became on the radar of the national intelligence community, even though he was a member of the national intelligence community. And what ended up happening was eventually he got targeted because – allegedly, or I guess it's unproven at this point, but he leaked the name of the CIA's torturer-in-chief, if you will, the guy who was actually running the waterboarding program, the guy who was overseeing the waterboarding of suspected terrorists overseas. He released his name to a journalist. And because of that, he was prosecuted under the Espionage Act and was looking at doing 75 years in prison. And, I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, middle-aged, maybe like mid to late 40s right now, and, you know, family, kids. He lives over here near D.C. And he said, you know, the Bush administration is waterboarding people. This is happening. We're torturing people. Hey, this is who's doing it. And they were going to lock him up. And they ended up saying, all right, look, we're just going to give you 3 years. We could give you 75 years, but we're going to give you 30 months. And so I went to this event tonight where it was John Kiriakou, and it was pretty much his goodbye party because he's going to start his prison sentence next week.
Unfortunately, I couldn't go.
Yeah, no, it was – are you in D.C.?
No, I'm in Oakland now. That's why I couldn't go. If I was in D.C., I would have gone.
Yeah. But, you know, so, like, I showed up, and, you know, not only was, you know, obviously John Kiriakou there, but a whole bunch of other whistleblowers, Jesslyn Raddick and Thomas Drake and Colonel Morris Davis, a former Guantanamo Bay prosecutor, was there, and, you know, a handful of people, like, very respected in this community. But I spoke to John Kiriakou, and I spoke to Thomas Drake, who was also, he was a whistleblower. He used to work for the NSA, and he was one of the guys who said, the NSA is spying on people, and they're screwing it up. And he was actually charged under the Espionage Act as well. Like, the 1917 Espionage Act meant to fight off, you know, like, spies during World War I. I talked to both of these guys. I said, well, look, the Obama administration really seems to be relentless about going after whistleblowers. Like, look at your case. Look at that case. Look at this case, that case, the other case. Like, look at this. What do you think is going to happen? I said to John, like, you know, you're going to go spend 30 months in prison right now. What do you think is going to happen, like, during that 30 months? And he said, you know, at this rate, I'm paraphrasing here. This is just like an hour ago. And actually, I do believe this will be on RT tomorrow. So please tune in to RT America at 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Go Roosters. Go Roosters.
Balls.
Keep sending out. Just keep sending
out. Fuck. Balls. Sorry, I set my foot on fire.
okay. I that's unfortunate. I hope.
To be specific, I knocked over a hookah with my foot and then put my foot into the burning coal for, I don't know, an undisclosed amount of time without realizing it, and managed to burn a hole into my pants and my sock.
That old trick. Yep, it'll get you every time.
Yeah. That'll get you every time. Anyways, I spoke. I'm sorry for the tangent, but Thomas Drake and John Kiriakou both were saying, look, at this rate, it seems like this isn't going to subside. The Obama administration and Washington in general are waging this relentless attack on whistleblowers, people who are not just exposing like bullshit, but people who are exposing problems within Washington itself. People are saying, this is the United States government. We're working for the United States government. The United States government is screwing up. And the people that are coming out and actually saying these things are the people who are being prosecuted and persecuted. And these very people are saying things aren't getting any better. And people really, 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 really need to stand up. But what's it going to take to stand up? It really, I think, is coming down to the point where we're actually seeing our peers being sent to prison and going like, oh, really? They're locking him up for that? What do we do now? Like, I remember when Jeremy Hammon got arrested. I believe that that day, was that March? Was that right? Was it back in March or April? Something like that. But that was the day where they arrested Hammond. Who was the other dude? Ramiro, and then the international, the European arrest, right? Like that day, I remember.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Lou Diamond Phillips was part of that too. I think it was Lou Diamond Phillips, Seymour. I screwed that one up.
Seymour Hoffman. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, I was going to do a funny joke and I ruined it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I still have
a big hole
in my pants.
It's fine.
But I remember, like, I was talking to Barrett Brown that day, and he was like, "Oh, the cops were just here. I got to go. Sorry." And when I got home, I didn't go home because everyone I was talking to seemed to be raided by the cops that day, and so I had to like.
Not
walk around my neighborhood for a while.
It's illegal when it's done to me. It's going to be legal when it's done to fucking FBI agent Robert Smith. who is a criminal, who is involved in a criminal conspiracy that has, thank God, been revealed, part of which was evident months and months ago, because I told the fucking FBI agent, Daniel Porsek, who gave me a fake name when his fucking little...
Blah, blah, wah, wah. Never mind, sorry.
Interesting note about Obama going after whistleblowers and shit like that. Before the Obama administration, there were, I might be off, but if I'm off, I'm only off by one or two. There were four prosecutions under the Espionage Act of 1917. All right, so four in all that time. Since Obama has come into office, there have been six. So,
all right,
you're
hey.
Almost correct. Recently, there has been up to seven, but yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Definitely right. Not over 9,000.
Over 9,000?
9,000? There's no way that could be right!
Okay, we got to take more calls, guys. We've got 15 minutes left. I want to get D.B. Cooper in on this conversation now. He's been waiting patiently. Go ahead, D.B. Cooper. You're on the line with Sicko, Blake, and Owly.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, hi.
What's going on, D.B.?
How's it going?
Pretty good, man.
Yeah, are y'all still talking about the Sabu case, or did y'all move beyond that? Or
we've been floating around it and back and forth. Tell us what did you want to talk about concerning Sabu?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. I think there's, you know, in regards to Sabu, I think there are a lot of things to consider. I expect tomorrow, I think we can like intelligently assume, you know, that Sabu will be essentially pardoned for his crimes. And I don't mean that he'll, you know, be set free, but, you know, it'll likely come in the form of some type of extended probation or house arrest. And I don't think that's really a reward for him as much as it is sort of an example that the authorities will try to set to show that when you cooperate with them, you'll be rewarded, as opposed to the opposite end of the spectrum when we look at someone like Aaron Schwartz, who receives like a 35-year, who could potentially receive a 35-year sentence. And the other thing I wanted to bring up is I think that people shouldn't forget that Sabu's case isn't just about, you know, him betraying his friends or putting people in jail. It's about the type of pressure that the federal government is capable of putting on people to make them do things that they obviously don't want to do. I'm sure in the beginning, Sabu had no intention of becoming a turncoat Benedict Arnold traitor.
Oh, sure. But there's something to be said when looking at over 100 years in prison.
Well, right, and you know, and I know that he had a family, and the FBI must have threatened their safety, not in like a physical sense, but in the way that their connections to one another would have been ultimately severed. And hopefully, few of us ever have to know that type of weight that the federal government could put on you. So while I hope that he receives some type of punishment, that's important to remember that. I mean, I think the punishment is important because if they don't punish him, it sets a really bad precedent for us in the way that it's going to show people, well, hey, if your house gets raided by the FBI, as long as you cooperate, we'll go ahead and set you free while we throw 14 of your friends in prison. So those are some of my thoughts on that.
You know,
Excellent.
Whatever they do to him tomorrow, like, his life is over. Like that dude cannot go in public because he's screwed.
Yeah, no,
so
no, I
whatever
agree.
They're going to do, I'm not going to say it's going to be enough. I'm not going to say it's too little or it's going to be too much. But, like, people are going to call him a snitch, and that's fine because he's going to be stuck with that forever. And
yeah.
it's
at the same time, I mean, look at Adrian Lamo. I mean, he doesn't seem to be struggling very much.
It won't be the real world where Sabu is struggling. Yeah, exactly. And especially if he ever tries to use his real identity,
then you know he's never going to be able to exist online and have a peaceful existence.
There will be
people who just fuck with Sabu because he's Sabu.
Doesn't Lamo get that?
He gets notoriety, and that's what Lamo wants. Lamo enjoys it. Lamo loves it. That's his personality.
Sabu thinks he's a rock star.
I don't think the kind of person Sabu is. I don't think he'll like being able. You know, people calling him a snitch and
no.
He won't like Lamo or Darby do.
Sabu's not going to go online and say I did this because I thought the security of the United States or something, you know, that bullshit that Lamo was talking about where he thought he was, you know, in the interest of national security. I can't imagine Sabu getting online next week and saying, well, I did it because it was in the interest of national security and I think I did the right thing. Like, Sabu will be back online, but we won't know who he is. No one will know who he is, and he'll enjoy as much freedom on the internet as anyone else. He's not going to be persecuted because he can get online and be anonymous just like anyone else.
Yeah, I think, and of course, I think he has, and my prediction is tomorrow he doesn't show up and gets another 6 months extension.
And what to tell us is that he is out there to get more of his peers, like his peers, I mean our peers, and people who are listening right now. So don't do anything.
In fact,
let's
all wave at Sabu right now. Hey, Sabu.
Hi.
So we got 8 minutes to go. I want to bring on some more callers while we can. now I have with me Mr. Gonzo PhD. What's up, Gonzo?
Hey, how's it going, Vince?
What's up, Gonzo?
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Good evening. Good evening, guys. Blake, if you're only paying $100 a gram, you're getting a really good deal.
What is this thing, $100 a gram? What drug are we talking about? Assuming we're talking about drugs.
I don't know. What do you only pay $100 a gram for, Blake? It certainly ain't
I don't know.
Anyway,
what do
my
I?
God,
is
dude,
this
you,
in my docs? Crap.
It's not your docs. My God, though, guys, that is the best. That's got to be the best like pink shale rhetoric I've ever heard in my life. Anyway, real quick on Sabu. Number one, that nigger is a fucking snitch. He's going to be the Kevin Mitnick of the 21st century. That's great.
No way.
If they don't give him any time, then he'll just wind up working for fucking whoever just bought HB Gary, and that's all well and good. That's great. The guy was never a hacker in the first place. He carted two Toyota motors to his house, sold a whole bunch of weed, and protected his heroin-addicted grandmother and mother's children. Fuck him and the horse he rode in on, and that's the way it really, really goes. That motherfucker, he didn't do anything but SE a bunch of skids into breaking in to HB Gary, dropping a bunch of fucking shit, and... You know what? Here's something else, and I'm going to be the most hated man on Twitter tomorrow for it, but you know what? Lamo was not necessarily wrong, so I'm going to leave it like that. But I'll tell you, I do not, in the interest of national security, Lamo, yeah, I know he gets off on being, what he was and everything else, but Brad Manning was a fucking idiot. If he'd just dropped one video, maybe he'd be a hero. But instead, he had to drop whatever, 500
you know,
mags
that,
or Lamo whatever
said
it
too. He said the exact same thing. If it was just
well,
the video.
And you know what? I'm not a Lamo apologist, and I'm not a Brad Manning fan. But Manning went way too far. He could have blown a whistle. It could have been a very small whistle. Instead, he blew a tiny whistle, and then dropped a whole shitload of data that no one had reviewed because Julian Assange SE'd his ass while he was in the middle of a breakup with his boyfriend and all this other shit, played him like a fucking fiddle. And that's really the truth of that. That's really the truth of it, man. I mean, it's not like, oh God, Brad Manning is just he's a national hero for everything he dropped. Drop the one video where they shot up that news crew. It's one thing, one simple thing. But you drop another fucking half a terabyte of data into a data bank overseas with a bunch of shit that can do nothing but hurt a bunch of other people. You don't have a whistleblower. You have a guy who didn't review data before he dropped it and made a fucking mess out of everything. And to be honest with you, I don't have an awful lot of I can't be a Bradley Manning or apologist, and I certainly won't apologize for Lamo, but God, man, you know, it's not cool to do that, you know. And I see all this fucking shit. And on top of that, Barrett, for all his fuckery and all his Project PM bullshit and flag waving and shit, that bitch tried to drop docs on me twice in the 10 days before he was arrested. And the reason that video that everybody references with his door getting kicked in, the reason that video was there is because my buddy XU out, was in that tiny chat watching Barrett, because Barrett had tried to drop two of my docs in a week via Elvira, who couldn't dox her way out of a fucking paper bag, dropped two shitty docs on me in a week. And I asked XU out that night to head to that tiny chat to see what those two were fucking doing. And that's why he was taping that when that door came down, solely. And he will off that on Twitter for you. That's Elvira and her fuckery, Barrett and his fuckery. And Barrett was such a, you know, he started out with the right idea. But unfortunately, you know, when somebody gives you oral Suboxone and you just start sticking it in your arm, all that does is keep you from going to a bodega to buy tar. So does that make him a hero? Fuck no, it doesn't make him a hero.
No.
He's a fucking idiot, junkie, drooling, fucking dumbass motherfucker who started it out with the right idea and ended up in a cell.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, quickly.
I want to know if anyone, getting back to Lamo, if anyone who has, like, followed his little infamy before he, outed Manning, if anyone thinks that he had involvement with the FBI way before, or the DOD before Manning, because
I talked to Adrian Chin earlier,
and I mentioned how I thought it was a little strange after his hack with the New York Times, he only received 6 months house arrest. And then we're looking into the future at people like Aaron Swartz, you know, getting 35 years thrown at him. And Adrian Chin told me, well, that's just a sign of the times. I think they're just getting more serious about it. And I don't really think that's true. I think him getting 6 months house arrest is, like, incredibly suspect.
One, Adrian Chen isn't fit to suck the hairs off of my balls.
Yeah, right.
But
okay.
Two,
that was
11 years ago, and it really, like, I have to give him credit on that. Like, that really
it was
11
years ago, but it was still post 9/11, so whatever. There was still Patriot Acts and all that shit.
It was post 9/11, but it wasn't disclosing, you know, quote unquote state secrets. And
but
I'm
they
not
were
going
still
to...
they were still making examples of even corporate hackers. Back then, sentence was incredibly light.
Who was the other fellow, JJ, who got wrapped up in the whole carding scandal a few years later and ended up committing suicide? He was being prosecuted by the assistant attorney general that was going after Swartz. I think we really can't say that Adrian and Sabu were at these cases are at all. I mean, I could see the similarities, obviously, but keep in mind. With Sabu, that was the FBI saying, here's a computer, go ahead and tell these guys to upload files to this. With Adrian, it was a really confused, like DV just said, like a trans dude out in the desert who just was going through a breakup, who was freaking out, confided in him. Adrian looked at the stuff and said, uh-oh, what do I do? He said something, and then the rest is history. But regardless that if you say that, you know, Brad did the right or wrong thing, or Barrett did the right or the wrong thing, I think, or Jeremy for that matter, but I think what the big point to take home here is it wasn't what they did. It's been the response from the Justice Department. It's been the fact that Bradley Manning's been locked up for 1,000 days without trial. Jeremy Hammond's been going on a year without a trial. And they're just going to go ahead and make examples out of people. And I don't mean to say this in a rude way, but I'm sick and fucking tired of hearing people say, oh, well, this is how they went after Aaron Swartz, because, you know, yes, this is how they went over after – this is how they went after Aaron Swartz. People need to stop saying that Aaron Swartz was a martyr. I mean, he very well might have been, but this isn't an isolated case. It's going to happen again, and people need to realize that.
That's something we have to be incredibly careful about, because that's the same thing that the government or the military does to – I mean, indoctrinating people into this, like, simple ideology. It's like a slogan, like, support the troops, and just saying, like, Bradley Manning is a hero, or hashtagging Free Hammond, that's not really action, and people get complacent and think that if they want to be involved and, like, try to change the way things are, all they have to do is slap a hashtag onto their tweet, and that solves the problem.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, and a lot of people on Twitter don't realize. Look, Yan has almost, you know what, almost a million followers. But the thing is everything is, for the most part, what Yan tweets to that million people. Those million people, you're not going to change any of that those people's mind. You know what I mean? So and I'm not saying anything about Yan. I'm talking about Twitter. You know, I can tweet about something all day long, but it doesn't really do much. You know, and so you get out there and you do other things, about it as well.
You need more calls to action, and you need carefully planned ways to allow people to use all of the numbers, all of these people that you have, to affect some type of change through a course of action. And they need to be more planned out, and more intelligent people need to be stepping forward to take action and direct. And I hate to say it, like, and this is another thing I hate, is like people say, well, it's a leaderless movement. That doesn't mean that there aren't leaders. It means that there isn't one person leading the movement. It needs to be people stepping forward that are trying to get everyone organized. There needs to be organizers that are trying to direct some course of action that will actually have an effect beyond trending something on fucking Twitter.
Well, I think what you're seeing right now is you're seeing a lot of people trying to figure out the best way to take, to go forward. You know, after you see, you saw the, for lack of a better phrase, and it might piss some people off, you saw the collapse of Occupy, whether it was a collapse, just ran its course, whatever. But you saw, you see, issues like that. So right now, there's a lot of talk about how do you go forward? You know, how do you go forward without being labeled Occupy? You know, how do you go forward being able
that's
to
reach what I'm
people on? On a mass base.
That's why I'm saying the intelligent people need to step up. The people that are capable of organizing all these people really need to, like, step up and get things going. And we can't – Occupy fell apart because it was a group of people, and they're like, well, no one's in charge. No one has the right to tell me what to do. I can do whatever I want. That's what this is about. I can run around and protest with my shoes off and my shirt off and be taken seriously at the same time. That's not really the way it works.
Occupy fell off because of lack of deodorant.
I mean, that's a funny way of saying it, but that's almost exactly the truth. The matter of fact is that no one was willing to sit down and let the people that have done this before, the organizers, the professional activists, like, take control and say, look, this is how this works. You all need to listen and learn something. Don't just sit out here and play guitar.
Have you ever heard of Rainbow Family? The Rainbow Family? The Rainbow Family and Rainbow Family gatherings?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, they went on for about 25 years, and it was...
Yeah,
a,
I've been to one. I was at one in Canada.
Yeah. I've been to half a dozen, and it was a leaderless collective, and it worked. There, I mean, you had your hangers-on and your various... idiots, and hangers-on and whatnot, and scumbags and tramps and whatnot. But it was a leaderless collective with a group mindset. And Rainbow Family worked, whereas Occupy only worked to get people to a certain place, to a certain locale.
Get them all in one place.
And then after that, it fell apart. Because you're right, there were no leaders. There was no overall group thought. There was a group thought, like, I have to get to 51st and 31st, and
right,
and,
yeah.
And then after I get there, what am I supposed to do? And then, I think I'll shit on the sidewalk. I think I'll assault a cop. I think I'll break a bank window. And then you've got 20 guys with like air books sitting in the center of a drum circle, going, "Fuck! How do we make this shit work?" And it didn't work.
You have to assign people. Like, people need to like be a part of an activist organization and pretend like it's work. Like, if you're good at something. That's what your responsibility is, and you need to be responsible for it. Like,
people tried.
Right, but
people,
you know, I like
at
I was
at,
dude,
tried.
I was at an Occupy group where we had a media team, people that were tech oriented, and then we had like protest teams, and then they would clash and fight each other about stuff. That, like, do your work, let them do what they're good at. And I mean, and I even had. We even had meetings where originally, you know, the idea of consensus, like decisions by consensus came out. People thought that meant majority. They thought that meant if we vote and 51 out of 100 people say we should do this, that's consensus. They didn't even understand the concept. The base concept of the entire idea was not – they were fighting against a system and then adopting the exact system, the exact form of governance that the system they were of the system they were fighting. It was ridiculous. Like,
and that's why Obama backed it, because he knew, watching on TV, he knew it couldn't
never backed
be off, but... anything. No, he backed it in a backhanded sort of way when he was trying to get elected, but
he didn't
knew
say anything
it
against
fail.
It.
But he knew it would fail. He thought it was cute,
yeah.
And it was cute. Coming from a TV point of view, it was like, oh, look, a whole bunch of disenfranchised Trustafarians on break from Harvard have come together to get upset in a park across the street from Bank of America. And that's really what happened. They shit under trees. They got upset. They cashed their checks and they went home. And
people need to stop assuming that getting press is a victory for your movement. Stop like thinking, oh, we came and we got in the magazine or the newspaper, we won.
No.
That should not be your fucking goal. Getting
press. And it's funny because if you have a strong enough personality, there are three different publications I could be writing for because of my my adventures on Twitter. And I choose not to write for any of them. And actually, I eschew press over things like Op Anti-Bully. I want no part of press because every time I've seen it from the Op Anti-Bully press that I got from that girl that we rescued from suicide to the KY Anonymous debacle. To that disaster in Steubenville, which turned out to be basically Lee Stranahan. The only one that won in Steubenville was Lee Stranahan because he got new teeth from Brandon Darby for the effort. I mean, there is a rape. You know, there is a high school football heroism culture that exists in towns like Steubenville where. The football team can do anything short of rape, and it's going to get brushed under the table. And I understand why that crew got formed to wave a flag for it, but it was a disaster from, like, day four. And I do appreciate their efforts because I grew up in a small town with that kind of culture where the jocks could do anything short of getting caught – fucking cows and they get baseball cards out of it. But in the end, you know, what did it turn out to be? It turned out to be like, oh, what the hell was it called? Night sec broke into like four different secs and everybody's doxing everybody and everybody has to run. and the FBI and God knows how many other federal departments are all chasing around after all these fucking people with fucking 29-cent mask avatars. Jesus, I mean, what a mess. And it was interesting if they'd just gone into it for like the first 3 days and brought attention to it and somebody had said something about it and walked away, it would have been great. But
Steubenville
Steubenville
was like a great way to show how not to do an op. If you're claiming to be like an anon and you want to like run an operation, and I started several, you never start out with an operation and say, if the authorities don't do this, we're going to
do
something
this.
Illegal.
Yeah.
You know what?
Right.
That's the stupidest shit. They said, if these 13 people don't apologize, we're going to dox them. And I was like, well, first of all, wait a minute. Like, you don't know that all of these 13 people are guilty. And they said, well, they can come forward and prove their innocence. I'm like, so anonymous, your idea of what anonymous is now that people have to prove their innocence. They're innocent before they're guilty until they prove their innocence.
In which case you're just acting like a federal court.
Right. If one of those people those 13 people, after they had announced that shit or they had doxed someone or whatever, if someone had gone to their house and killed them or thrown a rock through their window, dude, that would have been the end of all decent press.
For all anonymous.
It would have killed everything.
I agree. And,
I thought the press around the whole op was fantastic. Like, that was probably the most highly publicized anonymous op, or anonymous whatever, that, but, you know, within the last year, that actually, you know, made it to every mainstream network.
WBC.
Maybe that's because it was just a young girl getting
WBC
raped, and that's what people wanted
too.
To see.
WBC was the best press that anonymous has ever gotten.
WBC was pretty well handled in as far as the amount of fuckery aimed at WBC. The fact that honestly, you could not probably find a federal official that would actually get up off the toilet from taking a shit to defend those people. They're a pretty easy target since they are really, morally bankrupt, you know, that's an easy target.
I've used WBC several times just for free anonymous publicity. Like when I'm the one who
started that
op angel hashtag. And
yeah.
we were like, well, we're going to stop. Our goal is to stop WBC from showing up to Aaron Schwartz's funeral. And then they didn't show up and it was like victory. And then every newspaper was like, anonymous stops WBC, you know, or like whatever.
Well,
and of course,
you
they
know,
didn't. Like they probably just they their car probably broke down, you know. But
actually,
awesome.
They don't have much.
So thank you, WBC.
Exactly. And I've got it from inside sources that the truth of the matter is WBC really doesn't have much money because in the past 18 months, nobody's pounded the shit out of one of those cocksuckers to give them the reason to sue somebody and win $500,000 or whatever it takes so that they can keep putting God Hates Fag shirts on their children. So if nobody does any, because I mean, apparently from what I understand, they were trained by the feds, and I don't know if this is completely true or not, but I've been told and have read that they were trained by the feds how to like keep hands off.
That's not entirely correct. Actually, the true story behind that is that the feds invited them to come to this training event they were having to use them in a demonstration to train FBI agents. They didn't actually invite.
Exactly.
They didn't invite them there to specifically train
them. Okay, they were
part
of an exercise. It would have been nice after the end of that exercise if all the feds had gotten to just fucking beat them. Like
this is what not to do.
Yeah, exactly. This is what not to do. And if you don't set your video camera up right, this is what will happen. Stud. Motherfucker.
Dude, I gotta say, I was at Aaron's funeral. And up until the time it started, we expected WBC to show up. Like, that was, like, the rumor, like, for, like, days and days ahead of time. But as of that morning, there was, like, a good 30, 40 people outside, a block away, you know, no Fox or anything, just standing out there. And lots of, like, 15, 16-year-old kids, like, young kids standing there. who had never met Aaron that were there just because that they heard that WBC was going to go to protest a funeral. And, like, I don't know if they're anonymous or if, the message get passed along, but seriously, people, like, young kids showed up, like, to help out with that op just to make sure, just, you know, in black.
Good for them.
I hurt
for Aaron Swartz because, I mean, they said 30 years, but back channels say they were going to, for 6 months, they were looking at 6 months, but that he couldn't handle the notion of having a felony on his record because it would prevent him from, I know this sounds fucked up, but it would prevent him from, like, government service in the future. And it's too bad that, that the people that involved that weren't rabid to just stick somebody in the ass hadn't sat down and thought, hey, wouldn't we like to have the, one of the guys that invented Reddit, stopping China from running through our bank records all the time? Maybe we ought to, you know, think about this a little bit and maybe just offer him probation. And if he doesn't, I don't know, go to YouPorn for 6 months, we'll just clear his record and let him go on about his business. I mean, God damn, it wasn't, you know, the media saying 30 years. It was 6 months, man. I mean, that's what his attorneys even told him that. It was the felony that he couldn't hack. The notion of having a felony. He didn't want that because he wanted to do bigger things. And the government didn't want, because some asshole wanted a ticky mark on their resume, didn't want to let that go. And that really, really does suck because our country lost so much potentially because they had to just push him, and they pushed him right face first into a wall over a very, very, very little thing. I mean, uploading academic journals, his paywall shit didn't mean anything. And, that's that prosecutor that should really rot in hell for that. It really is. It's that prosecutorial team. Because Aaron definitely didn't mean any harm.
It's not like it was just like ASCII art or anything. It was academic articles. Like, can you imagine if he was
none of us would read.
Not counting the Texas DPS hack or anything like that. But for most part, that's the way I've used these anonymous cases as well. Mainly the PayPal 14 one. It's like, You charge these kids with two counts. One, you're going to give them 10 years for the actual DDoS that took down PayPal for 2 hours. And then the second charge is conspiracy. So these kids are looking at 15. For something that took 2 hours.
And the conspiracy is just – the conspiracy is we chatted about it.
Yeah. And
right.
I look at it like this, like how a conspiracy is something
I'm
done
sure,
by
I'm sure it'd be good, but, you know, sure.
It's
we have logs.
That everybody, you know, goes on to back channels and talks about.
Low
but
as shit.
All of these IRCs and stuff are, they're public. So you're reaching if you're trying to charge these kids with conspiracy. But you also have,
like, we're looking at a criminal justice system full of judges and even juries that have no idea exactly how the internet works. I mean, we're among, I'm not saying all of us are elite internet users. I'm just saying we're among the few in the general public that understand how the internet actually works. And when you go out in public and say, well, they were chatting on these backroom IRC channels,
One thing you have to understand about conspiracy is that it's not as simple as conspiring.
I love you, Gonzo.
Hey, love you too, man. But conspiracy
You're raising your blood pressure. I'm here to soothe you, to relax you, Gonzo.
But you're not female. You're not female, and you're not here, so you can't do that. But conspiracy
I can be there.
Is a RICO conspiracy. Which, now this conspiracy
shit,
thing.
Yeah.
This is an offshoot of RICO. And if you,
you
understand
sound more
RICO
tweaked out
statute,
than me, Gonzo.
If you understand,
well, when you're talking about RICO, like all I have to say is like one FBI agent gets online, hacks the federal government, and causes a drone to go down, and all of a sudden we're all fucking terrorists by association. Thank you, NDAA. Anyone is willing to bust out my door and throw me in fucking jail as long as they want.
Dude,
Anonymous is a great thing because it's like a black block where you can, and I'm not saying, you know, there's obviously differences, but it's like a black block where you can do something and then disappear into the crowd. And the only problem with that, as you see with black blocks, is that feds can hide themselves in there, or cops, they can excite a crowd, they can do something illegal, disappear, and it gets blamed on everyone else standing there.
Well, look at Twitter. There's currently a whole bunch of Fox Abbeys inciting people who
– right.
They're obviously, I hate to say feds, because everybody calls everybody a fed, but there's Prosec.
Well,
let's
also,
say Prosec.
There's also, like, ego-fagging, too.
There's so much Prosec.
It's just turning into party
line. Yeah, right.
What are you guys
wearing? Well, that's kind of what my show is. It essentially evolved into a conference call for retards on the internet.
Did anyone else take off
their
pants?
Oh, yeah, nigga, you know it.
My hand
exactly.
is gliding into my pants right now.
Very nice. FICO is here and unmuted.
I think it's time to make this a tiny chat.
This is
I'm gonna head that way too.
Video tiny chat right now.
Someone's
gonna
have a tiny
pleasure.
Chat. Let's get naked.
What?
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. I'm gonna get rolling. I'll see you guys in tiny chat.
FICO.
Danny Dantalian.
We're in Floss right now. FL0SF.
Yeah, tweet that out. Put it in the.
Put it in the chat.
I'm not following any of you anymore because my account was suspended last night. So.
Good.
Who are you?
Following me anyway.
I'll follow you back as soon as you get your account back.
Right.
Yeah. If I can.
Or have it on Ching Sing. Tweet it.
Go look at Vince.
We're gonna wind things down. We're gonna go around the room and do final thoughts. Gonzo, since you're signing off, do you have anything you want to add before you leave?
No, it was a real pleasure talking to everybody tonight. DB, have Ching Sing tweet out your alternative account, or I'll make sure, if I don't already follow you, I'll make sure I do when you come back. Guys, it was
cool.
A pleasure tonight. A lot of good discourse. Y'all take
Absolutely.
Care and be safe. Don't take any wooden nickels.
Right on, Gonzo. Always a pleasure. Thank you. Moving on down the line, let's go to a non-sicko. A non-sicko, any final thoughts?
No, just everybody, you know, be safe. Have a good time. Don't do anything stupid.
Okay, is Ma there? Does she want to say?
Hi. I got nothing to say.
Thanks for coming out. Appreciate it, as always. It's good, lively discussion. It was all over the place. I loved it. I think you guys kind of wrestled the Wrestle League's Jimmies by having a civil, intelligent discourse on the air.
Jimmy Wrestling?
Okay. Moving on down the line here, let's go to DB Cooper. DB Koopa, final thoughts.
Nothing. Just thanks for having me on again. Your show is getting better and better. almost every episode, if you skip last night. Oh, and don't sing anymore.
I can't promise. I can.
And I love it. Fall Friday song.
No, and my backup account is at Op Revelation. But and you can look on Vince's timeline. I think I'm on there now.
That's right, Chiz. All right, thanks, DB Koopa. Appreciate the call. Let's see, who else do we have? Blake, my special guest tonight. Any final thoughts from you?
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Vince, for having me on. It was a pleasure, an unexpected pleasure. I'm really glad that someone actually cares enough about all this shit to want to actually discuss it in length. I know that this is the proper audience, but still, I appreciate you guys having me on to talk about it, because I'm just a nobody. And also, if my mom's listening, sorry for swearing. I love you, Mom. And I don't know. I'll see you guys on the internet. I'm at AP Blake, and thanks, dude. Right on. This was great. Let's do this again.
Absolutely. Anytime. You're welcome to tune in, chime in, whenever you want. I more or less am on, I would say on average 4 to 6 nights a week, same time.
I mean, I've listened before a handful of times, like, to be honest. But usually no more than like 45 to 60 minutes at a time. But now that I know that we have interesting people actually calling in, like, this is, I think, I think DB, was it DB Cooper that just said that we have, like, very good discourse today. Very good discussion. There's a lot was discussed.
Yeah, that was actually Gonzo. Gonzo PhD said that.
Gonzo, that was a very accurate assessment, IMHO. So, I totally agree, and I enjoyed doing this. And if anyone cares who's still listening, who heard me talk about John Kiriakou earlier tonight, it should be on RT tomorrow, or check youtube.com/RTAmerica, or I'm sure I'll tweet it out too. So follow me, AP Blake. Don't follow me, though. Just send me annoying messages. And thanks again.
Right on. Thank you, Blake. Appreciate it. That was a fun show. And we have, last but not least, the goddess of the show, Owl. Final thoughts, Owl.
As soon as I started talking, everyone was like, "Okay, bye." I was like, "Aw, okay, bye." Nobody likes me.
What are you talking about?
No, I sat through that for like an hour. I was like listening to everyone, and then I had like one thing to say, and everyone's like, "Yep, all right, I'm done." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." Nobody likes me.
I like you.
You don't count. You're my best friend. Best friends don't count.
For anything?
You count for some things. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Do you have any final thoughts before we shut down the broadcast?
Is it like over?
Pretty much, yeah. This is it. Everybody got to say their. Oh, you know what? No, it's not over. Hang on, I lied. Spyko didn't get final thoughts. I gotta give Spyko final thoughts. Okay, hang on a second. Spyko, final thoughts.
Hey man, what the fuck? You said that, you know, fucking there's no more people. What's up, Allie? Is it Allie?
Hi, Spyko.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay. I'm not allowed to talk.
You're not allowed to talk? Why?
Because when the men are around, I can't talk.
Oh, come on. It's just Vince in the Bay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't talk.
You can't fucking talk, man? That's not cool.
Yeah, I know.
You're usually very talkative.
Yeah, not tonight.
No. Okay. Well, we'll make you talk then.
Okay.
Shout out to fucking Wrestle League, all right? And the have a good night. Fucking bye.
Sweet. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Well, that's going to do it, everybody. I really appreciate all the callers and the live listeners and everybody who's going to hear this in the archives and on the podcast. That's what? What?
It's like a half hour left, dude.
I'm ready to go to bed. I'm ready to shut it down.
Well, shit, it's all about you, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it is. Have I ever told you about Zuzana?
Oh, God. No. You know what? Wow. I'm so past my bedtime. Wow. Look at the time.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Okay. Suddenly it's not a bad idea to shut the show down, huh? I see how it is.
You ask me every day if you told me about Zuzana.
I did, though, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah, so you don't need to hear it again.
Oh, look, a cat.
Oh, God, not cats. God damn it, I can't escape cats.
I have
to leave the internet. I'm going to have to leave the internet. I'll be back tomorrow. Oh, shit, Free Ball Friday.
Free Ball Friday.
Tomorrow night, I've been freeballing all week. You know, I just do all my broadcasts freeballing. So it won't be anything for me, but everybody else, do not wear underpants.
Okay. Do I have to?
What?
Do I have to?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Hot. So hot.
I wish it was Tuesday.
Oh, so hot. Tuesday.
What?
Oh, shit. We forgot to do horoscopes.
Yeah, you forgot to do horoscopes.
God damn it. I keep forgetting to do horoscopes.
Don't mean to remind you next time?
Do you want me to do your horoscope?
What?
Do you want me to do your horoscope real quick?
No, I already know what my horoscope is. Actually, no, I don't. Actually, can you do it real quick?
Yeah, what's your sign?
Which one?
Your zodiac.
Regular zodiac? Sagittarius?
You're Sagittarius?
Hell yeah.
Oh, shit.
Half horse, half owl, half human.
Okay, so you're... This is your horoscope for Friday. You ready?
Yes.
You can feel the exhilaration from riding waves of extreme optimism today. However, you might attempt to settle down the energy because you have too much to do and very little time to waste. An important project requires your full attention, while the limitations...
Okay.
Do you mind? I'm still reading.
Sorry.
An important project requires your full attention, while the limits of your calendar are impacting your exciting plans. You have a very small margin for error now. So concentrate on your goals and get to work. If you stay focused, you may be pleasantly surprised by how much you accomplish by the end of the day. That's Sagittarius for Friday, February 22nd, 2013.
Cool.
Okay, that wraps it up.
Wait, what's your sign? What's your sign?
Taurus.
Oh, man. Yeah.
What?
No wonder.
Yep. What do you mean, yeah, no wonder? No wonder what?
No wonder we butt heads.
Do we butt heads?
You're a stubborn fox.
You know, I've had... Okay, my mother's a Sagittarius... almost all my girlfriends have been Sagittarius or on the cusp of Sagittarius.
That.
Huh?
You ask people like all the time. You're like, "What's funny?" You?
No, it's become a thing. I did one whole show, one Titty Tuesday. I did like everybody who called in. I did their horoscope.
Aww.
Yeah, it was fun. The ladies like it.
They liked it.
Specker fapped to me reading her horoscope. It was kind of hot, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Nothing. Nothing. Wait, what?
No.
What do you mean? What?
Oh, no, I just said, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, about Miss Becker?
No.
About what?
Exactly.
Oh, Lord. Lord, save me. Okay.
Wait, I have a question. What zodiac, Chinese zodiac sign are you?
Ox.
God damn it, no wonder. Jesus Christ, you're like...
No wonder what?
You're like my total opposite, yo.
So we're...
Can't
M.
handle you. I'm a monkey, dude. You're like Mr. Serious Bull Ox over here, and I'm like...
Chill, dude.
Yo,
chill.
Like a monkey.
I'm like,
see?
Stop.
That's what I'm
Why don't you get down from the ceiling and chill out on the couch here?
See, that's what you do. And I'm like, no, let me climb. And I'm like, let me be free, yo.
Okay, Spyko, what do you want to say? Come on, really quick.
Hi, Spyko!
Spyko, you're on.
I wonder if he muted himself.
He's called in on two different lines. Spyko.
What's up?
Okay, you're called in on two lines.
am I on? Jesus.
Yeah, you're in stereo.
Fucking hell, man. Learn to pick up my right phone number. Jesus.
My bad.
Anyway.
My bad.
Anyway, I was listening to you, like, molest talk her, and I felt so uncomfortable.
No, I was not molest talking her.
How are you doing? I'm Benton the Bay. Oh, yeah.
I don't sound like that. Come on.
I can't do a deep voice like you, you know? But it's definitely a little more pervy. And it gets all like, oh, so what are you doing tonight? You speak to Allie, like normal. I'm not here.
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite part of the show.
Oh, motherfucking yeah.
Yeah, this is where I peel back Allie's blouse.
No, stop it. Nope. Wait.
What's
stop it.
That?
Fucking
oh,
stop it.
Oh, that's right. Her blouse is already on.
Okay, I do not consent.
No. I gently press my lips against the back of your neck.
No.
Moving over to your earlobe, I...
No.
Can do.
You let out a soft moan.
No, stop.
Right, that's
it.
I'm stock accounting Vince right now.
No, don't do it. Okay, I'll stop. Just.
Oh,
and I'm sicking the fucking dinosaur.
Oh.
In the All right.
You're on mute then, dude.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to be in trouble.
Who's going to be in trouble?
Who do you think?
I don't know, man. He was the one doing the purr voice.
Well, purr voice. I'm trying to be warm and friendly to my and sympathetic.
Hey Vince, how are you doing today? Huh?
Doing fantastic. What's up? What's up with you?
See, this is warm and friendly. You know, it's a nice little back and forth banter. That's not really a conversation. Now let's go to you and Allie. You and Allie start talking.
Hey, Allie, what's going on?
You and Allie start talking how you usually talk to Allie when you're alone.
Hi. Oh, a cat. Hi, cat.
Go ahead, Vince. It's your move.
It's my move.
You can't even do it.
Allie, what did you think of the game? Is there an echo in here?
Vince in the motherfucking Bay.
What game?
The game that was on tonight.
What game?
Nigga, what game?
I think it was the Celtics versus the Vikings.
The only sport that matters is hockey.
Yes. Yeah, that was it. Celtics and Vikings hockey.
That's the one. That's the one.
No, hockey.
He's great at small talk.
Yeah, no.
He's
totally.
he's focusing so hard on not doing the pervert voice.
Yeah.
He's like, Benson the Bay, don't do the voice.
No.
You can't do the voice.
Wrong game, though. I think it was the... I think it was the Patriots versus the Rangers.
I don't know.
Well, it sounds fun.
But no, it was the Devil Rays. It was the Devil Rays versus the Nuggets.
Okay. Bro, that's cool, man.
They went to
they went to
a shootout and won with an extra point field goal.
What?
In the 19th inning.
Okay.
I don't know, man. But that was not how you normally talk to Allie. First offense. And knick-knack, I'm not sure. Oh, yeah. D12, 40-ounce, acoustic.
Oh, I have that right here. Let me get it.
No, acoustic. Acoustic.
Yeah, I got acoustic right here. Here it is.
You fucking liar.
No, I'm serious. It's the acoustic version. Here it is.
Benz, you don't have the D12 40. It's not acoustic.
It's
not acoustic.
That was the acoustic version.
Shmoop fucking snuck in on the line and started screeching.
I love Shmoop. He's my brother.
She should have been on the show last night. He was here the whole time.
I know. People, they sucked me into playing Monopoly, and I hate Monopoly, and I almost won, but I didn't. I, like, lost in the last second, so.
Oh, yeah, nigga! Yeah, nigga!
Oh, yeah, nigga! Shit.
All right, Spyko. Well, appreciate that. Anything else before we wrap up the show?
Yeah. I like try not to harm Allie.
What? I'm not going to harm Allie. Why would I harm Allie?
Because you're okay.
Because I'm me? What? I'm very gentle.
I'm passionate.
I mean, I'm
passionate.
Respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Around
I'll touch you gingerly and soft, not rough. Don't worry. Benson the Bay. Okay. Oh, yeah, motherfucker. Oh, yeah. Hey, Allie, this is Vincent Bay. Why don't you just have a seat right there on that leather couch? Oh, yeah. I have my robe on and my sweet fucking emo fedora. Oh, yeah. You know I'm looking fly tonight.
Oh, dear.
I even shaved my mustache.
Oh, man.
Vince in the Bay. Wow, wow, wow. See, it fucking makes me feel uncomfortable doing that. Cut the music. Fucking cut the music. Schmooch. Fucking down me like that. All right, thank you. Vince.
All right, thanks. That's the Vince in the Bay band. The soundtrack for the show.
Allie, sorry for that. I felt wrong. Love you, Vince.
I love you, too. Appreciate the call, Spyko. Until next time, hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com/VinceInTheBay. And until tomorrow night, Free Ball Friday, I'm Vince in the Bay. This is Allie. Say peace out, Allie, or whatever. Say goodbye in some way, shape, or form. Hoot hoot.
Yeah. Hoot hoot.
Oh, okay. All right. That's great. Just two hoots. What about people that don't what about people that don't give a hoot?
But then they can never mind, I'm not gonna say it.
I like your show too.
Oh, thanks.
Can my show touch your show sometime?
No.
Damn.
No. Absolutely not.
All right. Fine. Thanks for coming out.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Take down your pants.
Are you on the level?
You're going to take down your pants, or do I have to do it for you?
Thank you very much.